Well, once again, we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nice to see you here with an appetite to learn the Word. And as most of you know, we plan to look at the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ this week, the last book of the Bible. However, my responsibilities, other than introduction of the book tonight, in fact, there'll be two introductory messages tonight, Lord willing, myself, Brother Henry, and two more tomorrow to kind of give you a broad overview of where we're headed. And then the book of Revelation will be looked at as a whole, including not only Brother Henry, but Brother Keith and Brother Larry. But my responsibilities will go beyond the book of Revelation. We'll be doing some comparison between Daniel and Revelation, the great prophetic book of the Old Testament of end times, and Revelation. And also looking at Daniel and Revelation in the light of all Scripture, how Scripture as a whole would present these truths here. So my subject is very broad, will have something to do with Revelation, but with the book of Daniel and in light of all Scripture. But tonight, the time goes to about 8 o'clock of the first session, then a 15-minute break, and then at 8:15, our Brother Henry will do his introduction also, of which we'll have two more tomorrow morning. So if you go to Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. Some introductory thoughts. First of all, and let's see what kind of a book it is, number one. So I take you to Revelation 1 and verse 3. Revelation 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. A lot of things ahead of us. We're not going to try to say everything in one night. But this book is called by the Lord Himself, this prophecy. The words of this prophecy. It is a prophetic book. So you can expect it to be predicting things that haven't happened yet. A prophetic book, the words of this prophecy. Go with me again in Revelation to chapter 19. Chapter 19, please. Revelation 19, and we'll go down to verse 10, what John says he did. Revelation 19 and verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if we're dealing with a prophetic book, what is the essence of it? What is it revealing? What's the spirit of it? The testimony of Jesus. So you can expect to find him here. It's called the Revelation of Jesus Christ, after all. Continue with our prophetic theme. Go to the last chapter, chapter 22. You'll see it several times here by the Lord Jesus himself. Chapter 22 and verse 7. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. There's a blessing for reading it. There's a blessing for keeping it. It's a book not to be afraid of. A promised blessing for reading and keeping the prophecy of this book. So you should be in for a blessing this week if you read it and listen to it, and then we keep it. But it's a prophecy. Look at verse 10. 22:10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The prophecy of this book. So Revelation claims to be a book of prophecy. You'll see it again in verse 18, as the Lord testifies here at the end. Verse 18 of chapter 22. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now watch verse 19. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from things which are written in this book. So we have a written book called the words of this prophecy, of things that will happen in advance to tell us the future at the time it was written. With that in mind that we're studying the New Testament prophetic book, go back to chapter 1 for some introductory thoughts, please. Revelation chapter 1. And men, depending on the time, you've already heard there's open sessions. Once in a while, we might even be able to have some dialogue here. If there's something burning that I just said something not clear, you need a clarification, not a whole exposition of the Antichrist or something at this time. Just raise your hand and say, "Brother, could you clarify that?" You can do that while I'm speaking if I see you, okay? But for comments and development, we'll save those for the open times or any time we're able to open it up for dialogue. Going back to chapter 1, let's see who it's from and who it's to. This book of prophecy. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So it comes from God. It was given to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Gave unto him, and to show unto his servants, and an angel, it would be signified by an angel to John the Apostle. And then John the Apostle goes on to say to its two further. So it's from God, it's to the Lord Jesus, given via angels to his servants through John. And look at verse 4. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. You have a book here. While John is the actual writer, he's not the author or the inventor of the story, so to speak. It's from Jesus Christ that God gave unto his Son, signified by an angel, given to John the Apostle, but given to John the Apostle to be given to the churches. Did you see verse 4 again? John to the seven churches. Looking at verse 11. Look what the Lord Jesus tells John. Saying, verse 11, chapter 1. Saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, etc." So he communicates by a written book. The Lord Jesus does. "And to send it to the seven churches." So it's from the Lord Jesus, because God gave it unto him. So we're learning something not from some group of churches or Christians, but from Jesus Christ, the risen Lord himself. And this isn't a book to Israel, national Israel, you know, like Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's not a gospel tract to the world, though you can preach the gospel from it. It is to the churches of God. Whatever is in here is meant to establish and encourage the churches of God. And it's from our Lord Jesus. You'll see that one more time if you go back to that last chapter, please. Chapter 22. Some of these things come again at the last chapter. Revelation 22. And looking at verse 16. 22:16. Revelation 22:16. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." So all this talk about hell and the judgment seat and the judgment of this world, you think it might be a message to the world? It's a message to the churches. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel." So we have a letter from the Lord Jesus Christ that God gave him that is to be written in a book by John and to reach the churches of God. And so that's what we're dealing with here. Now, having just given that brief observation of some introductory thoughts, I want to give there's a sectional layout to the book. There's 22 chapters, but according to the Lord himself, it divides into three major sections. It's helpful to understand that. So going back to chapter 1, as the Lord Jesus communicates to John, Revelation 1, and I want to take you down to verse 19. To look at the three major sections of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Looking at verse 19. "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." John's writing a book, alright? Three tenses. Write what you have seen. So from that perspective in history, John was to write what he already saw, the past. And that is mainly verses 11 through 18. 11 through 18. What he saw was a present reality. It was already a reality. It wasn't a prediction. It had already happened. And I'm not going to go into these things because there's people going to handle these chapters, all right? Just giving you this sectional overview. And so he was to write what he had seen. But secondly, there's not only a past tense to this book, there's a present tense to it. Looking again at verse 19, write the things which are. And you will see that will answer, brothers, to Revelation 2 and 3. And that will be the seven churches, the churches of our Lord, functioning as a testimony, as a light bearer, as a lampstand for Him on planet Earth. The church is functioning as a light testimony to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And the condition of the churches and the Lord Jesus' passion, how they shine, how they represent Him. And He'll be walking in the midst of the seven churches. I'm not going to say any more on that. Brother Henry will be dealing with that later in the week, Lord willing. But that's the things that are the church age that we're in right now. Looked at as lampstands or light bearers, revealing the Lord and so on in that sense. So the things that are. But the biggest part of the book is the third section. Chapters 2 and 3, the churches are the things that are. But now you look at verse 19, the end of 1:19. He's to write, the things which shall be hereafter. For some of you, the things that will be after this. After the things that are. After the churches on earth. The hereafter, where it really gets into prophecy. After the things that are. And we don't have to guess where that begins. Go to chapter 4. 2 and 3, the things that are, the churches on earth and their condition. But now you get to chapter 4, and all the way through the revelation of Christ when He comes back to earth in chapter 19, you're not going to read of the church once on earth. You won't read the word church. But you're going to enter into a different stage here, a future stage. Looking at chapter 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And there it is. The angel inviting John up, and I will show thee things that will be after this, hereafter. And brothers, from chapter 4 on, you are in the hereafter stage. Things that happen after the churches function as lampstand light bearers on earth. Not the present area. This chapter 4 and on, it hasn't happened on earth yet. But it's going to happen. And it's the great prophetic part of the book, the future. Things that must happen hereafter will be chapter 4 and on. The shortest is the past, things you've seen. Then the things that are, that's the present. But there is a future, the things that shall happen hereafter. You know, if you wanted to boil Revelation down to the main subject, obviously it's Jesus Christ our Lord. But there's something involving Him in it. There's now and then, brothers, there's verses that kind of just one verse can kind of capsulize the essence of the whole book. And such a verse is Revelation 11:15. I'll just quote it for you. Revelation 11:15. For the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. There's a change of politics coming. The kingdoms of this world will not be like they are forever. They're going to be replaced by the kingdom of God and His Messiah. And it will be eternal. He shall reign forever and ever. Simply put, the way you know it now with Satan and evil and corruption is coming to an end. And it's going to be replaced by righteousness and peace on earth and justice. And it's not going to be done by politics. Be done by the political salvation of Jesus Christ Himself. And that's what's ahead of us. That evil loses and righteousness wins in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you just want to boil it down. And it will happen, not in the time that is, in the time that shall be after, at the revelation, the unveiling, the descent of the Lord Jesus Christ to planet Earth. Now, that is just kind of in a nutshell, as a sectional overview of the major theme and how it's approached, and things like that. Now, having said that, I want you to go back to chapter 4. In fact, you're in chapter 4. And we're going to talk about this great hereafter stage. And you will see in this hereafter stage, 4 to the end of the book, 4 to the end of the book, that there is a, we can call it a structural layout. Some call it a literary structural layout. The way John was to write this book, he was actually taking dictation. He wasn't the inventor. He said, well, I like this and I'll put this in. It was coming from the Lord Jesus that God gave unto him. And so there's a literary structure layout to the book. And when you understand the way God chose to write His book, I submit it's going to help you understand this book itself. Because He wrote it that way on purpose. And that's going to bring us to our first handout. And I need a couple of volunteers to see that everybody gets a handout, okay? And I'll explain it after we have it. Now, it's black and white. I happen to have mine in color. Maybe it makes it a bit easier to read, but Brother Steve told me, he said, they're only authorized for free here to make black and white copies. But if for some reason, if any of my handouts I have in color, that you would like them in color, he claimed he'll just charge you the cost of the ink. He'll charge you a quarter for a color copy. So if you'd like a color copy, I'll lend you mine. Okay, and you can work, wheel and deal with Brother Steve. He had to work a nickel for Larry on that, though, you know. So, now, what this chart will do, brothers, is take from chapter 4:1 and on and give you the literary structure layout, the way the Lord chose to write His book. And in the way He chose to write it, there is understanding and seeing this of the book itself. So we're going into the hereafter stage. Now, as we do, what you're going to see, we understand there's a series of consecutive sevens. In fact, seven is all over the book. Seven churches, seven lamps of fire, seven angels, and seven, seven, seven. It's a seven-sealed book you'll be learning about. And in that seven-sealed book that will be open, there will be seven trumpets that angels blow, followed by seven vows or bowls full of the wrath of God, including seven thunders. And John's not allowed to tell you what those seven thunders uttered their voices. And so there's all kind of things that are laid out here. But in doing that, there's a literary way in which he did it. And the best example, you might think of a better one before the week's over. But before I tell you what we're doing here, the best example I could think of is if you go to the NFL Network, you know, on your computer or something. And after a game, they're going to have highlight reels. And what's happening here, you're going to meet layouts, you're going to, like a layover method. You're going to see one truth laid on top of another. And here's how they do it, at least in the NFL. They'll give you the score at the top, such as San Francisco 26, Green Bay 24. Okay, they'll do stuff like that. And then they'll show you a condensed version of the game, consecutive. And the score's up there, who the winner was, who the loser was, the whole time they're showing you that. Then they'll have another highlight reel and just show you the moves of the quarterback, the moves of the winning quarterback, and the interceptions of the losing quarterback. And they'll show you not the whole thing, but they'll just draw out an overview of it. And then they might show you the turnovers, the fumbles, and the interceptions. They might show you in another reel, at the same time they have the winner and the loser posted, of the running plays. So you'll see these different things showing you the same game, but a different emphasis. And while they'll show you what they're showing you in that reel has consecutive order to it, it is not the whole game they're showing you. They're showing you an overlay. And if you put them all on top of one another and put them together, you'd have the whole game. Now, that is something what the book of Revelation is doing. As it presents things, it's going to give you a starting point and an ending point. And it's going to talk about things in between. And then it's going to repeat a starting point and an ending point, who wins, who loses, and show you a different emphasis of things in between that you can actually lay on top of the other one, for it's the same time period, generally speaking, of the 7 years. And then it's going to do the same thing again. It might emphasize a different section of the game, as we say, but it's still with the same general time period. Having said that, when I was able, that started to dawn on me. It helped me understand this book. And we trust through the Spirit of God. And as we've taught this on occasion, and I'm not the author of this, but as we were taught some of this and studied it and developed it, it was very helpful to see what the Lord showed here. So what we want to do, we're going to see, and you see them listed here, five major sections in this hereafter stage. And they will all start with something opened in heaven. Something, they're going to start the same. Something will be opened in heaven, and something will be seen that has to do with the Old Testament temple or tabernacle. That old Jewish tabernacle. In that sanctuary, that tent replaced by the temple. It had an ark. It had a golden censer. It had an altar. And when something is opened in heaven, it will have something to do with the tabernacle, the place that God used to dwell on earth in the midst of His people. When God was king among His people, Israel. You know, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Exodus 25:22. So they'll all start with something opened in heaven. All right. Now, the content won't be the same. It'll be a different emphasis, just like your highlight reels are. But it's the same game it's talking about. But then, as it will go into those things that happen, it will all end the same way. Every one of these five sections will start with something being opened in heaven. Something to do with the tabernacle that is seen. And then it will end with the wrath of God. That special time period coming when God steps out, so to speak, and physically judges this earth. Cataclysmically brings it to an end. And we don't recognize it as we see it today. Mass destruction. And brings this sinful planet to an end. It's called the wrath of God, the day of His wrath. Sometimes referred to in the Old Testament as the day of the Lord too. And so they're all going to take you to the wrath of God. They're going to take you to the same destination. Who loses? Then following the wrath of God, or right in that wrath of God, if you look at your chart here, okay? Looking at your chart on the left-hand side, you will see something's open in heaven. Door open in heaven, seventh seal open, temple of God open. Then you see these scrolls being unrolled, and that's going to tell you what happened, what the highlights is it's highlighting. Then you see that calm going down your sheet, and on mine it's red, on yours it'll be dark. It says wrath, the lightning of God. The wrath of God falls. And every section will take you to the same thing. So it's not telling five different stories. It's telling you one story with different emphasis. And they all will take you to the end. So you'll think, well, I'm at the end. And you'll say, well, I'm not at the end. Because you're in a different section. You're looking at a different highlight reel. Same game. But everyone will take you to the end. And when you understand that they're all taking you to the end, you don't have five ends, it's one end, okay? And then after the wrath of God, every one of them will take you to heaven's kingdom. Heaven's kingdom. And give some type of a victory statement concerning the people of God, the saints of God. It'll take you to heaven's kingdom and give some type of a victory statement concerning the saints of God. So you'll see who loses, the wrath of God. You'll see who wins, the saints. It'll all start with something being opened. And the details of that judgments or and whatever else happens are in that section. And each section will have different details, just like your highlight reels of a game. But it's the same game. And they all take you to the final score. And they just show you different things, as we said. I find that that is the way this is laid out. And so I don't have to say, well, I'm at the wrath of God in chapter 6, and now where does this fit? We're not sure where to fit everything perfectly. But when you understand this, you will see it. They're taking you to the same event. And then it's going backwards. And then going forward again with a different emphasis. I find that just turned the light on for me. Now what we're going to do is just in our remaining minutes is run through these five things. Not to teach what's in them. That's what the men have before them. Brother Keith and Brother Larry. His responsibility in the hereafter stage. How they're going to cover all that, I'm waiting for a miracle, but they'll hit the highlights. Brother Henry will have the present stage, the past and the things that are, the churches. He also will have liberty to develop it. He might find himself in the hereafter stage. Might find himself in Ezekiel, I don't know. But as these things, as he develops them, he'll take him where the Spirit of God leads him. So that's what's ahead of us here. But all I want to do is not teach all these things, just show you the structural layout that it's real, it's not imagined. It's the way God chose to write His book. And it will help you understand, well, if this is here, then why shouldn't it be here? It's five stories with different highlights on them. That start and stop and end with a victory statement after the wrath of God. So, here in chapter 4, you see on your chart, it'll way at the top, what we have number one of five sections here. A door is open in heaven. You see something open. Looking at Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. A door was open. There's something open. In other words, it's revelation. Something's being opened. You can see something. A door was open in heaven, verse 1 of chapter 4. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Behold, a throne. So before he even sees the one on the throne, he sees the throne. So he's in heaven, and he sees a throne, a place of administration. You know, in the Old Testament tabernacle, there was a throne. Anybody know what it was called? The what? Mercy seat in the ark. The mercy seat over the ark. We know it was a throne because that's where God gave His orders to Moses. He told Moses. In Exodus 25:22, speaking of the ark and the mercy seat, He said, and there will I meet with thee, and there will I commune or speak with thee. From above the two cherubim, between the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, and all that I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Every command God had in those days for Israel, He spoke from that mercy seat and ark and spoke it to Moses. Moses would then relay it to the people. It was the voice of God ruling and instructing His people, and it came from between the cherubim. In fact, in this future kingdom, if you'll just go for a minute to Psalm 99, look how God had described based on how He first presented Himself. Just for a second, if you would, to go to Psalm 99. Would somebody read verse 1 nice and loud, please? 99:1. It's a kingdom chapter.
The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble, and He sits between the cherubim and the earth
beneath. The Lord reigns. He sits between the cherubim. That's what He did in the Old Testament tabernacle. He ruled from between, it was His throne, the ark and the... And so the expression in this kingdom age, He is between the cherubim. So the throne of God is seen, and that will be His ruling center, which answers to the ark of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. So that's what is seen, the administration center. It's open. Now, there's all kind of detail in this opening here that isn't my responsibility to go into. This section will take you, as you see here on number one on your chart, that open scroll, chapters 4 through 6. Chapters 4 through 6. We saw it starts with something open and something seen, connected with the tabernacle, the throne. Having said that, go to chapter 6. Watch how it ends now. I'm going to show you how it ends. It's going to end with the great day of His wrath, the final consummation of and destruction of planet Earth before the Lord sets up His kingdom, the visible judgment of God in crushing this rebellious planet. For instance, verse 14 of Revelation 6. Verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And earlier, the moon, the stars, everything was falling. And verse 15, 6:15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? It's a revelation of the Lord. They see Him on the throne. And it's the great day of His wrath. It takes you to the final judgment of God on this planet of this age. And so you see on your chart, number one, the opening of the six seals. That's what's happening in there. Will take you to the wrath of God. But following that wrath of God, showing you who loses, chapter 7 will show you who wins. It'll make a kingdom statement. A victory kingdom statement of His saints. The opening part of chapter 7, and now we're to the right of wrath. On my chart, there'll be little blue blocks. On yours, there'll be gray blocks. You're looking to the right of wrath where you see a crown, and it will say Heaven's Kingdom. Beyond wrath, communication of victory for the saints. And every one of these sections will have end the same way with that formula. And so after the sealing of the 144,000 Jews, they're not the losers, you then get to verse 9. Chapter 7 and verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. They're fit to stand before God. They have victory palms. They're in the presence of God, and cried, verse 10, with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Salvation. And you'll discover later, and we'll get into it later, it's political salvation they're talking about here. But that comes later. Salvation to our God, and so on. And there's a great victory here. And it goes on, and if you look at, for example, at verse 15. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. God with His people. There's victory. Evil has been judged. The saints are in victory. And that's how section number one of these five literary sections in the hereafter stage develops. Something opened in heaven, something of the tabernacle scene. Then the judgment, certain details given, not the whole picture, takes you to the wrath of God, and then gives a victory statement for the saints. Having said that, we're going to go to section number two on your chart. It's labeled number two. It will be the seven trumpets. It'll be a different highlight reel. Not the running plays, but the quarterback's throws, so to speak. The seven trumpets. It will go from chapter 8, listed there in number 2 for you, to 11:15. Chapter 8 to 11:15, and take you right to the wrath of God. Actually, it should include verse 18 there too. 15 and 18. But having said that, you go to Revelation chapter 8, please. Revelation 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints, which are upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. So a piece of tabernacle is, the seventh seal is opened in heaven, and they see a piece of tabernacle furniture, not the ark now, but the golden altar, incense, where that smoke incended, speaking of prayers as we just heard. And so the golden altar where the incense of prayers is going up, that's what is seen when the seventh seal is open. So it starts, section number two, structure number two, starts with something open, the seventh seal. Something of the tabernacle is seen, this time the golden altar. And it will give you details now from the seven trumpets. It will give you a different aspect here. But then, guess where it takes you? It takes you to the wrath of God. Let's go to chapter 11. Chapter 11. The seventh angel sounds here as you go to chapter 11. And looking at verse 15. Verse 15. I quoted this verse earlier. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Transfer of power. One loses, one wins. Kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. Go down to verse 18. It's judgment mingled with victory. Verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. And I'll just stop there. Thy wrath is come, the time of the dead that they should be judged. It brings you to the time period again of the wrath of God, just like section number one did. Brings you to the wrath of God. Also, there's a victory statement of the saints. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, and you see that, the wrath of God. Then you look to the right on your chart, section 2. It's verses 16 through 18 of chapter 11, and it has to do with reigning and rewards. Verse 16, and the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats or thrones, fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken of thy great power and hast reigned. Brings you to the kingdom of God. He's reigning. And while the nations are angry and they're judged, look at the rest of verse 18. It's a victory statement. I'm in the middle of 18 now. And thou shouldest give reward, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. To the wrath of God, but a victory statement for the saints. Who loses and who wins, so to speak? And so it does the exact same formula of section 1. Same time period, but a different emphasis of what's happening. That's section number 2 in the hereafter stage. Going to the third literary structure, you see it as number 3 there, the scroll there. And to the left of number 3, something's open in heaven. That goes from chapter 11:19 through chapter 14. 11:19 through 14. And guess what? It will take you in 14 to the wrath of God. But look at 11:19. Some brother read it nice and loud, please. 11:19. Temple of God was open. Something's open. Now it's the temple itself. The whole temple itself. And a close-up of the Ark of God. The Ark of His covenant now. And that word testament or covenant has meaning here, which I'm not going into. So the temple is seen, and it's seen open. And when it's open, that would mean the holiest of holiest. You see the Ark of His testament. Once again, the covenant He has made. And God is so something is seen to do with the temple or the tabernacle. Then events follow. Looking at number 3, the third scroll on your chart, and I'm not going to go into them tonight, there are 7 signs and sights that will be in this section. 7 angels will be in this section. You'll meet the dragon and the beast, the Antichrist, and the power behind them. You'll meet evil, a counterfeit trinity in this section. And so this will be showing a different highlight reel, so to speak. But you'll meet these things in this section of details after something is open in heaven. And by the way, and I'm not going into it, what is in those sections has to do with what is open in heaven. But having said that, let's go to the end of chapter 14. And it will take you to the wrath of God again, the same event. Revelation chapter 14. And give you different details. So Revelation 14, and looking at verse 18... Revelation 14 and verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Back to the wrath of God. And something being crushed like grapes crushed, and that would be human blood and maybe animal blood. Verse 20. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse's bridle. It's like 3-4 feet. By the space of 1,600 furlongs. You talk about cataclysmic destruction here in the city. It's the wrath of God it brings you to again. That great day of His wrath, and who shall be able to stand? But if our formula stays true, what do you think is going to follow next before something else is opened? A victory statement of the kingdom. Who wins? So that's chapter 15. As you go to the right of wrath, chapters 15, verses 1 through 4. A song of victory to the king, and the nations will worship God. Takes you to the very end. That is to the beginning of His kingdom. Looking at chapter 15 and verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And it's something that will happen in a very short future there. But then verse 2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. or King of the Ages, some will have. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. Judgments that bring evil to an end. And finally, God's exalted righteousness is in, and all nations worship Him. A song of victory for the saints, a song of the Lamb, and a song of Moses. Don't have time to go into the details. Maybe somebody will when they're on those things. But there it is again. Who loses? Who wins? The same formula, different emphasis, like your football highlights. But the final score is always the same at the end. But it gives us the details, more understanding. But it's not separate events in the sense of, well, this happened and why is this repeating itself? It's simply another overlay of the same event. Looking at section number 4, literary division number 4 in this section, going down on your chart, it will say seven bowls. It will deal with that Babylon, the whore, the unfaithful woman, the perversion of religion and commercialism. Not going into those details, though, it goes, as you see in number 4, from 15:5 through chapter 18. 15:5 through chapter 18. And you might know how 15:5 will begin to open. Something will be open in heaven, and something will be seen. Looking at chapter 15, that's how you know you're in a new section. Chapter 15, those are your literary markers that God wants you to look at to get your mind to think how this is working here without, you know, confusing everything as, you know, one event and, you know, and not knowing when it starts and when it ends. We don't have to, we know. Chapter 15 and verse 5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. The testimony were the things inside the ark. It was called the Ark of the Testimony. The law was in there. Eventually, Aaron's rod that budded and the golden pot of manna, they all bore testimony to God, the true God. The tabernacle of the testimony, who the true God is. And heaven was open. So he sees the whole thing opened here. And seven angels come out of it, having those seven bowls full of the wrath of God. And what you will have in chapter 16 is those angels unleashing the fullness of God's wrath. He judges in stages. And now you have the fullness of it. But look at the seventh angel pours out his bowl. Go down to verse 17 of chapter 16. Verse 17. And it won't surprise you where it's headed. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away and the mountains were not found. This is a total destruction again. It's focusing on Babylon here. The fierceness of His wrath. Once again, it takes you to the end stage of the wrath of God and gives you a different emphasis on it. And then what happens in 17 and 18, just like your highlight reels will do, it'll say so-and-so through 380 yards, and then it will show you all those great plays. Chapters 17 and 18 will give you the details of the destruction of Babylon. The fierceness of His wrath. Well, how fierce was it on whatever this Babylon is? Chapters 17 and 18 are the details of the wrath of God on a system called Babylon. That's all I'm going to say on that. Which brings you to chapter 19, if you go past wrath now, section number 4. Yes?
You use the word system, meaning a world system, not the city of Babylon.
It is a system, but it is a city too.
Okay.
But it is definitely a city. We can't get. But the city is a system. It has a system to it. So I did use the word system, but that system is headquartered and flows out of a city. Thank you for clarification on that. But since I'm not responsible for that chapter, I'm not going to deal with it.
You're using it both ways.
Absolutely,
brother.
That's right.
Okay, good.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Bob. Going to chapter 19, as you go to the right of wrath, the heaven's kingdom, verses 1 through 10 is a victory for the saints. And they look at verse 1 of chapter 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, 19:1, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Heaven's rejoicing. The scene's not on earth now. It switches to the victory of the saints in heaven. They're excited that evil was put down. And without reading it all here, look what they say in verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Then it talks about the marriage of the Lamb. Victory for the saints. He's reigning. Evil's put down. They're wedded to the Lamb. Not looking at all these verses now, but it's a victory statement of the kingdom again. Takes you to the exact same event, just a different emphasis. And then that brings you to the fifth literary thing, division, that begins, as you see, number 5, 1911 through chapter 20. 1911 through chapter 20. You have 7 personal divine judgments from God. I mean, directly given by God. Not using men here. Directly given by God. And war and so on. And the removal of the sinner. And 1911, this fifth section, will start with something open. Somebody read nice and loud verse 11 of chapter 19, please.
Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
The revelation of the Lord Jesus when He comes back in the second advent to earth. Heaven is open. And now what is seen is just not a piece of tabernacle furniture, the God who dwelt there. He is seen. He that sat upon the... was called. You see, God's glory dwelt in that tabernacle. His presence was there. I may dwell among them. And now He is seen. The Lord Jesus is seen. He comes back to make war on the earth. And of course, you won't be surprised what verse 15 says. 19:15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He destroys the armies, he destroys Antichrist, he destroys the false prophet, Satan's put in the bottomless pit, eventually Satan's put in the lake of fire in chapter 20. It's judgment after judgment after judgment that brings it to an end. But the nations, as he descends, experience the wrath of God. It brings you to the great day of His wrath on planet Earth. And judgments are all throughout here through the end of 20. And so now we get to chapters 21 and 22, beyond judgment, beyond wrath. And it's who wins. It's victory. It's a kingdom statement. And look here at 21. It's a long section of a victory statement of the kingdom. Chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them. God right with man now. And they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And it goes on with all the positive victory. Huh? A tremendous victory statement for the saints. That is the way, brothers, that the Lord Jesus chose to communicate to John to reveal this time of judgment in the kingdom of God. Through things being opened in a seven-sealed book out of heaven, to things that bring you to the same event with different details, the wrath of God, and then heaven's kingdom and the victory statement. So it's just one game, as we'd say in football. And it's just different highlights, but taking you to the same event of wrath and reigning. May God give you understanding as we look at this book here, that if you look at it through these lenses, it might help to answer some puzzling questions. Why is this here? And why do we end up in the same place? You're getting 5 highlight reels of the same story. But one, the quarterback is throwing. The other, the runner's running. The other, you see the defense. The others, you see the error of fumbling and interceptions. It's all the same game. It's all the same judgment. It's all the same winner in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I have to say in the first introductory session.